بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, dear visitors, my young friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Verily all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has brought us close to the end of the blessed month of Ramadan. Verily there are many of our brothers and sisters, some of us may be aware of them, may know them, they may be close to us, who began this month with us, but they're no longer with us anymore. So verily, it is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us this opportunity to witness this blessed month and to come to His house and towards His worship in this blessed month. And for that, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the past 26 days, we have been, most of us have been like gardeners. We have been sowing seeds that will be stored for us and that will, inshallah, give us tremendous fruit, tremendous benefit on the Day of Judgment, inshallah. So what we have done for ourselves is we have built a garden. We have built a garden, and any smart gardener or farmer will tell you that sowing the seeds, putting the seeds into the ground, is the beginning. That's how it starts. But there's more to it. So the garden has to be protected. A garden has to be protected from insects, from attackers. It has to be watered. It needs sunlight. And only then will the seeds that have been sown, the plants that have been put into the ground, will be able to bear fruit and to bear fruit properly. Similarly, our deeds that have been done, so all of the things that we have been trying to do in the month of Ramadan, fasting, coming for prayers at night, giving charity, and so on. First of all, we make dua that they are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Definitely, it is our responsibility. It is our duty to do these deeds. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do some of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have encouraged us greatly to do many others. But we have to make dua, we have to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts these deeds. We should of course have good hopes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should always, always have good hopes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that means that if we are sincere in our worship, if we are sincere in our repentance, and we are trying our best, then inshallah, Allah will accept our deeds. But it's like when you give a gift to someone who is much more important than you. Right, if you send a gift to someone who is much more important than you, much higher in rank than you, you want them to like and accept your gift. Right? So back in the days, people would send gifts to kings and queens. Right? Even nowadays, the royal couple come and people like to give them things, send them cards or give them gifts. Or you send a gift to the prime minister or someone who's important. You want them to like it, you want them to accept it. But you cannot be sure if they're actually going to like it, right? So as human beings, we are imperfect. And as human beings, we are weak. And thus, our deeds, by nature, are probably lacking in one way or another. So out of our humility to our Master, we present our deeds, all the fasts that we have kept, right? All the prayers that we have offered, all the sadaqah, all the charity that we have given, all the dua that we have made, all the recitation of Quran that we have done, we present these to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask that He accept these deeds from us. And we ask Him to overlook any shortcomings. So if our prayers have been lacking in some way, or if our fasting, even though we avoided food and drink, wasn't exactly in its perfect form, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overlook these shortcomings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our shortcomings in these deeds and that He accepts all of that we have done. Now, this is basically the water and the sunshine needed for our seeds. This is like the water and the sunshine that is needed for our deeds. So we do the deeds, then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. But the biggest threat to our garden, this garden that we have started, the biggest threat comes from our own actions. The biggest threat to this garden and all the seeds that we have sown into the ground comes from our own actions. What do we end up doing on this very same land on which we have sown our seeds of goodness? Once we have started this garden, right? Once we have sown the seeds, what do we end up doing with this land? Would it make sense? Would it make sense for a gardener or a farmer to sow seeds and then start digging again in the same spot, destroying all of his hard work? Would that make sense? It wouldn't make sense. Or for a gardener or a farmer to sow seeds into the ground and the next day or a few days later call the paving company and pave over the whole garden, making it impossible for the seeds, for the plants to grow. Would that make sense? No, it wouldn't make sense. So after sowing the seeds, we need to protect them and ensure that we don't involve ourselves in destructive behavior. Just like it would not make sense for a gardener, for a farmer to sow seeds into the ground and then a few days later dig them back up or pave over them, making it impossible for the plants to grow. In the same way, we've got to be careful, make sure that we don't involve ourselves in destructive behavior that ends up tarnishing, that ends up destroying this garden that we have worked so hard for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبَنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ That the good deeds erase the bad deeds. The good deeds erase the bad deeds. But the opposite is true as well. So after all of this effort, right? So after all of this effort, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and His mercy, and doing all of these things to gain the pleasure of Allah, we don't want to be those who end up blowing it at the end, right? So you make all of these gains, and we hope and we are confident, inshaAllah, we hope the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven all of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His mercy upon all of you. But after we have gained this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wouldn't it be foolish for us to go back and to just lose all of those gains? Definitely it would be foolish. It does not make sense. Now, our own destructive actions that end up, right, eating up, erasing these good deeds and taking us back into the same rut that we were in before, these actions are often inspired by shaitan. These actions are often inspired by shaitan, the big one, Iblis, and his army of shayateen. Okay? So he's not alone. Right? He's got a whole army working with him. As the Prophet ﷺ has told us, in the month of Ramadan, the shayateen are chained up. Right? The Prophet ﷺ said, وَسُلْسِلَةِ الشَّيَاطِينَ In the month of Ramadan, the devils, the shayateen are chained up. Now, here's a common question that comes up. That if the shayateen are locked up in the month of Ramadan, are chained up, and we believe that because the Prophet ﷺ has told us, then why do we see evil happening in the world? Right? Why do we see sin still being committed in the world? Why do we still see murders and other evil actions in the world? Now, there's a number of answers to that. But one of them is that the Prophet ﷺ didn't say that the devils are killed, or that someone gives them a knockout punch and then they're knocked out for the rest of the month. Right? That's not what he said. What he said is that these devils, the shayateen, are chained up. Right? They're chained up. So that means, that does not mean that they don't have any influence at all. Right? Rather, it indicates that they become weaker in Ramadan and are not able to do what they're able to do at other times apart from Ramadan. And even if all the devils were to be chained up, right? So if all the shayateen were chained up, that does not mean that no evil would occur. And that is because there are other causes, there are other reasons for evil as well, apart from just shaitan. Right? You can't just blame all the evil that happens in the world just on Iblis and his army, right? There's other reasons for that as well. So for example, there are There are souls who are evil, who have rotten, who have gone to the extent where they have become evil themselves, and they obviously are not chained up. And human habits that are evil as well. Right? So because of the whisperings of shaitan, if a person continues following along the path of shaitan, a person's soul, right? A person becomes so accustomed to evil that even if shaitan and his army are chained up, a person still has the tendency to commit evil and to do evil. And a good example that has been given by a scholar was that if you're stirring a cup of coffee, right? If you're stirring, or any other drink, coffee is a bad example for the summertime, but iced coffee. Okay, so if you're stirring a cold drink, okay, and you stop stirring it, right, it's still going to be moving. There's still going to be some movement, even if after you stop for some time. So in the same way, when the devils are locked up, their effects, some of their effects, can still be visible. In any case, so the devils, the shayateen, will be unchained at the end of Ramadan. So we will be here, inshallah, offering our prayers for Eid, and the devils will be celebrating because they'll be unchained and they will be back at full force. They will be back at full force. We're like, yes, the month of Ramadan is over. Now, you know, we can get back to business. Okay? So they will be back at full force. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly warns us about shaitan. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly warns us. You think that, you know, it's something that obvious, we all know, obviously, not to follow shaitan, what he's done, and you know, but no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously re-emphasizes the point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan. He's addressing the believers, right? He's addressing the believers. This gives you an indication of how severe this threat is. This gives you an indication about how severe this threat is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the believers in particular. And He says, O you who believe, do not follow in the footsteps of shaitan. Don't follow him. وَمَنْ يَتَّبِعْ خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ Whoever follows the footsteps of shaitan, he should know that he orders people to commit shameful acts and evil deeds. This is what he does. That's his profession. Right? That's what he's there. That's what he's vowed to do, and that's what he tries to do every single day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ The shaitan, what does he do? He tries to frighten people. He tries to scare people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, shaitan frightens you with poverty. You know, he frightens you with poverty. He tells you, oh, you know, if you start worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you actually start going for Jummah prayer, if you actually start praying your Fajr Isha prayers in the masjid, or offering more prayers, you know, if you start giving charity, you know what's going to happen? You're going to end up being poor. Right? Because you can't commit your time to work, to your business, and you know, how are you going to get time for all the things that you need to do in this world? You're going to end up becoming poor. الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمْ الْفَقْرِ So he frightens you with poverty. وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ And he bids you to commit indecency. So he'll try to put thoughts into your mind. Right, it's okay, no one's watching. Okay, it's okay, I'm online, no one's watching right now. It's okay if I send a few indecent text messages, it's okay, no one can see my text messages, they can get deleted. Right, so he gives you all of these ideas, right, where you think, okay, I can do this, nobody's watching me, I can get away with this. And eventually it tries you to get worse and worse and worse. So it bids you to commit indecency. On the other hand, the contrast, وَاللَّهُ يَعِدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْهُمْ وَفَضْلًا Allah promises you forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and grace as well. So if you can resist the temptations of shaitan, if you can give shaitan that knockout punch, right? And you can instead turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah promises you forgiveness and grace. Fadla, grace. Wallahu wasi'un alim, and Allah is all-embracing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing of what is going on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us again, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا Surely shaitan is an enemy for you. Okay, shaitan is an enemy, so take him as an enemy. Right? Why do you say that, okay, yeah, I know shaitan is an enemy, but then you end up following the footsteps of shaitan? You know, shaitan is an enemy, so take him as an enemy. إِنَّمَا يَدْعُوا حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ He only invites his group to falsehood so that they become inmates of the blazing fire. This is what his mission is. is to misguide people, take people away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make them follow him into the hellfire. Now you know what's going to happen when a person ends up there, right? It's like follow the leader, right? So people who end up taking shaitan as a leader, shaitan ends up taking them to Jahannam, to the hellfire. And then there, he's like, why are you looking at me? I didn't tell you to come here. Right? Why are you looking at me? What did I do? You made your decision, right? I didn't force you to follow me, right? You're the one who chose to follow me, and now you ended up here with me. It's not my problem. It's not my fault, right? My deeds are with me. Your deeds are with you. Goodbye, right? That's what ends up happening. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that this is what's going to happen. So clearly, shaitan is an enemy, and he commands us to do everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like. Now, he's going to use different approaches for this. Okay, he does it in different ways. Because not everything works on every person, right? So if you're a teacher, if you work with different types of people, you know that one approach doesn't work with every person, right? You got to use different techniques, different approaches for different types of people. Shaitan is very smart. He's very, very smart. So he knows this very well. So he told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so when he had that spat with Allah and Allah kicked him out of paradise, right? What did he say? ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ Then I will come upon them from their front side. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ And from their behind. وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ And from their right and from their left. So what he said, he's so committed that he knows that one approach is not going to work. So for different people, he's going to try different tactics. Okay, so for some, he's going to try temptation. Okay? Temptation towards things that are prohibited. For others, he will try to use a good route. So you say, you know, you're such a pious person. You know, you said, what? You know, you're offering your salah and your prayer is like, you know, you're showing off to people. Okay? You're showing off to people with your prayer. So you should shorten your prayer. Don't make it long so that, you know, you end up showing off to people. Cut it short. Okay? Or, you know, a classic one is for especially people who are very committed and you try to find different ways to try to get them. So you're like, okay, you know, you should, and this could be taken the wrong way, but understand what I'm saying. He says, you know, mashallah, you offer your prayers on time. Now you should start waking up in the middle of the night to offer the tahajjud prayers. Now who's going to say this is a bad thing? Who's going to say that it's a bad thing to wake up in the middle of the night? Right? So he's going to try to make you wake up in the middle of the night. But then, after you're done your prayers, you're like, oh, you have some time left, you know, you should go to sleep, get some rest. So you're refreshed for Fajr time. And then when Fajr time comes, boom, you oversleep. Right? That's not to say that you shouldn't try to offer your tahajjud prayers, but what I'm trying to say is that shaitan tries different approaches from different people. He might give some people power, right? And then make them power hungry. Different things. Different ways that shaitan will approach different people. So be very, very careful. And we find numerous other references. We find numerous other references in the Quran and Hadith. So we know that this is an enemy we need protection from. And we have recognized, we know very well that he is an enemy. So how can we be protected? Okay, so here's the question. Shaitan is chained up right now. Devils are chained up. Their influence is down. They're going to be let go. What can we do to protect ourselves? Okay, this is important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ That should a stroke from shaitan come to you, or should a stroke from shaitan strike you, seek refuge with Allah. That's the first principle. Should shaitan come to you with a stroke, with an idea, trying to bother you, trying to put some thoughts into your mind, into your heart, seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever you get an evil thought, okay. Whenever you get angry, because anger is from shaitan as well. Okay. So when you get angry, when you get an evil thought, or you are faced with evil. So someone tries to approach you with evil. Okay. Somebody tries to approach you for something bad. Somebody tries to flirt with you. Okay. Somebody tries to suggest that you commit a sin. Somebody asks you, you know, to come along for a drink. Anything that happens where you are invited to evil, or you feel like committing evil, or you get angry, or anything else that is committed to that is linked with shaitan, seek protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ Very powerful, very potent. And actually say it with the sincere belief that Allah will protect you against shaitan. Inshallah. Because Allah is obviously more powerful than shaitan, right? Shaitan can't outdo Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He might try to trick all of us, but he can't trick Allah, right? So if you seek Allah's protection sincerely against shaitan, against evil thoughts, against the thoughts that are, or things that are coming from shaitan, then inshallah, Allah will protect you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also told us that the mu'awwadhatayn, the two last surahs of the Quran, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, also very, very powerful for protection. So when we seek protection, when we need protection of Allah against any type of evil, against any type of evil. You know, people often ask about magic and jinns and stuff like that, right? It's all true, it's this, right? But when you seek protection of Allah, do it through these two surahs. And again, see, the most important thing is having true, sincere belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His protection, right? If you read it half-heartedly, right? And you're like, oh, the Imam was saying, you should say, I'll be shaitan rajim, so fine, I'll give it a try, I'll see if it works. Ain't gonna work, okay? You need to have sincere belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His protection. Okay, so if you sincerely believe that yes, Allah will protect me, inshallah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. If you do it half-heartedly, no guarantees. Okay, so that's the first thing. So seek protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, realize that when you follow the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you follow the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in as much detail as possible, you're working against shaitan. Okay, because this is something that shaitan does not like. So every time you do that, every time you follow the teachings of Allah, every time you follow the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you're working against shaitan. And every time you go against these teachings of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you end up following in the footsteps of shaitan. As I say every week, if you can please make some room, inshallah, fill in the gaps. We have brothers who are waiting in the back. Jazakallah. Amen. Try to sit a little closer together as if possible as well. So we can fit as many people as possible. Jazakumullahu khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all. So every time we end up following the teachings of shaitan, while following the footsteps of shaitan, we're going against the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every time we follow the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we end up going against the teachings and the footsteps of shaitan. Here's a clear example. I really like this hadith. Okay, he's a clear example of working against shaitan. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha qara ibn Adam as-sajda, fas-sajda i'tazala ash-shaytanu yabki." Okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the son of Adam, meaning a human being, recites a verse of sajda and prostrates. Okay, so we have verses in the Quran 14 or according to some 15 verses in the Quran where if you read these verses, you're supposed to prostrate afterwards because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing us to prostrate at that time. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the son of Adam recites a verse of sajda, a verse of prostration, and he prostrates, shaitan withdraws weeping. Okay, so shaitan actually starts crying. This guy cries too. Okay, he starts crying. And what does he say? Ya wayli umira ibn Adam bis-sujud fasajada falahu al-jannah. He says, woe to me. The son of Adam was commanded to prostrate, right? Was commanded to make sujood, to prostrate, and he prostrated, so paradise will be his. On the other hand, وَأُمِرْتُ بِالسُّجُودِ فَأَبَيْتُ فَلِيَ النَّارِ. And he cries and he says, I was commanded to prostrate, and I disobeyed, so hell will be mine. Okay? So shaitan, you can see, is very bothered by this, so much so that he actually starts crying. Okay? So a human being recites a verse of prostration and falls into prostration, shaitan starts crying. Man, you know, this human being was commanded to prostrate, right? To make sujood, and he prostrated. He did it, right? He went down into sujood. So paradise will be his because of this, because he submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, I'm such a loser that when I was commanded to prostrate, I fought with Allah, right? I disputed, I argued with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I disobeyed. So now Jahannam will be mine. So we see that shaitan does not like it when we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not like it when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's one of the best ways to resist the temptations of shaitan. Now the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also very powerful, right? And this is all obviously linked to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in a hadith, it is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet Yahya alayhi salam, to enjoin five things upon the Bani Israel. To enjoin five teachings, five things upon the children of Israel. One of which was, he said, I command you to remember Allah, for this is like a man who is being pursued by the enemy. Okay, remember Allah, because this is like a man who is being pursued by the enemy. Then he comes to a strong fortress and saves himself from them. So a person is being pursued by the enemy, runs away, finds a fortress, and protects himself. So the remembrance of Allah is like that. Similarly, a man cannot save himself from his enemy except by the means of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously shaitan is our biggest enemy, right? Public enemy number one. So to protect yourself from shaitan, you've got to hold on and use the power of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also hear the verse which I mentioned a few nights ago, وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّضُ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ. Then whosoever turns away blindly from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever disregards the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we appoint for him shaitan to be an intimate companion for him. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَسُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. And verily they, meaning the devils, the shayateen, hinder them, people, from the path of Allah, but they think that they are guided by it. Right? So if we ignore the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously and properly, then we will find shaitan as an intimate companion for ourselves who will try to misguide us and will end up misguiding us, and even then we will think that we are on the right path. So this is why the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is crucial. The recitation of Quran, another form of remembrance of Allah, of course, is also very good, very important. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us, especially about Surah Al-Baqarah, right? Second surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Inna ash-shaytana yanfiru min al-bayt alladhi tuqra'u fihi Surah Al-Baqarah." That shaitan stays away or does not approach the house in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. The house in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited is not approached by shaitan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also tells us, and actually what he ends up doing is actually comparing, not directly through his words, but comparing shaitan to a type of wolf. Okay, so we know that if there's a sheep, right, that's hanging around alone, well, what's going to happen? The wolf's going to come and try to attack it, right? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells us, فَمَنْ أَرَادَ مِنْكُمْ بَحْبَحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ فَلْيَلْزَمَ الْجَمَاعَةِ فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ مَعَ الْوَاحِدِ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ أَبْعَدِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever among you wants to attain the best part of paradise, whoever among you wants to attain the best part of paradise, let him adhere to the main body of the Muslims. Let him adhere to the main body of the Muslims. Let him stick together with the jama'ah, with the majority of the Muslims, for the shaitan is with the one who is alone, but he is further away from two. So shaitan more easily approaches a person who is alone. And he is more reluctant when he's faced with two people or with more people. What does that tell us? Try to stick together. Try to stick together as believers. Give support to one another. And this prohibits shaitan or discourages shaitan from approaching you. So these are some of the ways that we can seek the protection, seek Allah's protection against shaitan. Now the good thing is most of us have had the opportunity to take part in some of these in this blessed month. Right, so either we are coming together as a jama'ah, mashallah, you know, for Isha prayers at Fajr time, for Jum'ah, for other prayers, right? So we are coming together, we are reciting the Qur'an, we are offering prayers, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are already doing all of these things during this month. And if you haven't been, then it's a good idea to start now, of course, because this month is almost over. But what we seriously need to consider is this, that this is a month of training. Ramadan is like a month of training. Right? When a person goes for training, if your company or work sends you for training, right, or you're sent somewhere to take a course, you're not expected to come back and just forget everything you just learned, or the 3-day course. Right? You're expected to take that training and then apply it. Apply it in your work, apply it in your life. So we have learned how to restrain our desires by fasting. We have learned how to increase our worship. The question is, what is our take home after all of this? Right? What is our take-home lesson? What have we learned? What have we achieved that we are going to keep and apply for the rest of the year? This is a question I want every single person to think about. Whether it's now or tonight or whenever. Okay, or when you're driving back from here. Okay, you're going through this month, alhamdulillah. You've done everything you can, or you've tried to do your best. What are you going to take home after this month? What are you going to take from this month that you're going to apply for the rest of the year and for the rest of your lives? So pick at least, and this is what I recommend, so pick at least one desire. I'm not asking for much. And it's not for me, of course. It's for your own good. Pick one desire that you can restrain. Pick one act of worship that you can increase. Alright? Pick one desire that you were indulged in before Ramadan and you stopped in Ramadan that you can continue avoiding after Ramadan. Pick one act of worship. If you can do more, that's wonderful. MashaAllah. By all means. Go ahead. But at the very minimum, pick one act of worship that you started doing in the month of Ramadan that you were not doing before Ramadan that you can continue after Ramadan. So, you know, you think about your desires, the things you were indulged in. So what can you do? Can you let go of bad language? Can you stop indulging yourself in watching indecent movies and indecent pictures? Can you stop listening to songs with dirty lyrics? Can you stop flirting? Can you stop gossiping and backbiting? Can you stop cheating? Can you stop lying? These are all very simple things, right? These should be simple things for believers to let go of. And how can you increase your acts of worship? Can you be more regular in your 5 obligatory prayers? Can you offer more prayers in the masjid? Can you become a regular for Isha prayers and for Fajr prayers? There's a great reward for that, as I mentioned before. The person who prays Isha prayer in congregation and Fajr prayer in congregation, Prophet ﷺ says that the reward is like the person who worships the whole night. Can you set a time for recitation of the Qur'an every day so that you don't go, you know, days and weeks and months without reciting the Qur'an or without touching the Qur'an? Can you spend more time in the masjid? Can you offer tahajjud prayers at night? Maybe not every night, perhaps on the weekends. What can you do to improve? Can you fast more regularly during the year? You know, fasting is prescribed in Ramadan, right? But there are other times when fasting is recommended as well. The Prophet ﷺ used to fast on Mondays and Thursdays of every week. So there should be some form of improvement. Then we will have truly benefited from this month. So the question is, again, how will you improve after Ramadan? Think about it and then apply it. And this will increase, inshallah, your protection against shaitan, and it will also increase your blessings in your life, and of course, in your hereafter, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are winners in the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who benefit from the month of Ramadan in this world, in our daily lives, throughout our lives, and in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His mercy and His blessings upon us all. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.